Check. Check.
My name is Elizabeth Smith. I'm from Valdosta State University, and I'm here at Coastal Georgia Community College in Brunswick, Georgia, interviewing Miss Betty Ector.
My name is Betty Ector. I am Assistant Professor of Business and Office Technology and a member of the McIntosh County Shouters.
Okay. I have here a fieldwork project consent form, and it says, you have to read it and date it and sign it and stuff like that, but it says that you give me permission to use the information that you've given me in, you know, to help educate students at Valdosta State University about McIntosh County and the Shouters, and that if you say something during this interview that you do not want used, that you just, you know, make a note of it down here at the bottom, and we cannot use it. Okay?
Sure.
All right. Okay. I'm just going to ask you, you know, just a couple of questions and everything. How long have you been involved with the Shouters?
I've been involved with the McIntosh County Shouters for approximately 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you know where they learned to dance, or not to dance? It's not dancing, it's shouting.
Right.
Okay.
It's not learned, it's inherent. Okay. It's a tradition that has been passed down, and they emulate what they have seen their grandparents and grandparents do. And it's an act that has been done each year at New Year's Eve, specifically. Originally, the act of shouting was a way of celebrating after harvest. And when it was brought to the United States, it was a month-long activity where the people in the community went from house to house in the evening and celebrated the end of the harvest. After a number of years, as time went on, the tradition became less and less stringent in that they broke it down to only the week prior to New Year's. They would start Christmas Eve and go from house to house shouting until New Year's Eve. And at New Year's Eve, they would have the watch night services. And at watch night services, after watch night services, the benches will push back and the celebration will begin. And that's when the shouting would actually take place.
What actually is the watch night services? And it's just like, you know, attending church?
Watch night services is traditional in the black church. We usually go to church at about 10:30. And begin a praise and worship service. And in most churches, the services carry basically the same format. At Mount Calvary, where most of the Shouters attend, they actually have a full-blown sermon kind of thing, and music and et cetera. But at some churches, the format differs. At my church in Savannah, at St. John Baptist Church, ours is more of a testimonial kind of thing, where we begin with the praise and worship, the prayers, and then you have a series of people who give testimony as to things that they have come through during the year as a result of their faith and the graciousness of God. The services will go on until approximately 11:30, quarter to 12 at that time, and this is traditional in all churches, the lights are turned out, and everybody in the church kneels and waits for the coming of the new year. When the new year comes in, the bells toll, the lights come on, and there's a celebration.
Okay. Right. Was this tradition within your family?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay. Do you know exactly how far it goes back, or if it's...
Ever since I can remember.
Ever since you... Okay, your mom taught you this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We still do it.
Really?
Yeah.
What about the younger generation? Are they...
They still do it.
They
you see, what happens is that the celebration... If you, most people go out into New Year's Eve parties and stuff like that. We could only do that after the new year had come in, after you had been to church. You didn't go out until after New Year. You had to go to the services first. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards you go to parties and whatever. And it still holds true.
Let's see. Who first exposed you to this? Your mother, or,
My grandparents.
Grandparents? Okay. All right. Have you made any recordings? Any recordings of this music? Tape or video?
The Shouters?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, there is a tape, and I can't tell you right offhand what the name of it is. But it is for sale through the Smithsonian Institute.
Oh, okay.
But after the services, what happens in Bolden, Georgia, is that they move from the church, the sanctuary, because the sanctuary does not have a wooden floor. They have a building next to the church where they usually serve food, because after the church services, you go to the annex for a meal. And traditionally, well, for the last 4 or 5 years, the Shouters have actually furnished the food, paid for the food. But traditionally, we will have seafood, like fish and shrimp, because most of the people in the area, most of the people in the area are fishermen or whatever. And the other thing that we have is Hop and John. And Hop and John, everybody has Hop and John. Hop and John is dried field peas and rice cooked together. And throughout southeast Georgia, I know, people have Hop and John. Traditionally, we have greens, most times collards, and the connotation there is that you have greens for money, which will bring you money in the upcoming year. The peas and rice are for luck. And we usually have chitlins. Mm-hmm. But it's a full-fledged meal that you eat at midnight, or shortly after midnight, after New Year comes in. But then they push the benches back in the annex of the church. And this is where the community as a whole gets involved in the shouting. And somebody begins to rap the stick. And then people just start to shout. Since the Shouters have been on a circuit, more or less, they basically started out, but you see children and other people join in and just get all involved in it. Because it's not something that's learned or taught, it's inherent.
Okay. When I was looking at the book about the McIntosh County Shouters, I read that if the women, it's kind of a shuffling movement, mm-hmm. but if they crossed their feet, it was dancing, and that they were dancing for the devil.
Right. Okay. It's shouting is considered the... It's a dance-like movement where they move counterclockwise in a ring. Mm-hmm. And they often move their arms to pantomime the words or the lyrics of the song. They will never raise their feet high off the floor, nor will they ever cross their feet.
Is there any reason why they wouldn't raise their feet high?
That's what shouting is about.
Okay. I read about they did this kind of picking up leaves, yeah. Yeah. Is that, and do they do that when they shout for every song?
No. Picking up leaves is characteristic of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And initially that song was coined to illustrate their realization that they were naked. Originally the song was coined Pinning Up Leaves, because they pinned leaves together to cover their nakedness. But dialect, just general description, mm-hmm. has changed the lyrics, and now it's just picking up leaves.
For the years.
Okay.
How would you describe the style of music, I guess you would say? How would you describe that?
Most people call it folklore.
Mm-hmm.
It's unique in that people have tried to emulate it, and people have even asked us to teach it to them, but it's not something that can be taught. I'm not a native of that particular area, even though I was born and reared in McIntosh County. I don't have the dialect, nor do I have the innate ability to do the shout,
mm-hmm.
because it's not the area that I came from. My ancestors didn't do it. Only people who grew up in that area, and it's sort of like inbred. So, if it's not in your blood,
mm-hmm.
you can't do it.
Do you know exactly what area, what specific part of Africa you're from?
From what we can determine, it's West Africa, somewhere around Seneca.
Okay, somewhere around there. Last year I was at school and there was a Joe Apala. Okay, and he was talking about the Gullah and the Geechee, you know, and he was talking about this one lullaby, but it was actually a funeral song,
mm-hmm.
and linked them, and they actually got to go meet their ancestors. Was that part of
No. That's Miss Moran.
Mm-hmm.
She lives out in Harrisonburg.
Okay.
What she speaks is probably a variation of Gullah in terms of what the shouters do. The shouters speak in Gullah, most of them. And if you were to talk to any one of them, well, the younger ones, I'll say it like that, they would try hard not to speak in Gullah.
Why is that?
Because they've been teased about it, kidded about it, and in many instances it's considered a stigma. And so they don't want to, I don't say they don't want to be associated with it, but they want people to understand that they can speak. Now, some of the older people cannot, because what has happened over the years, initially when these people came to this country, they probably spoke in something other than English.
Mm-hmm.
And because the educational experience was so limited, what they learned was just picked up. It was not structured. So they had to incorporate what they heard into a functional language. And so they didn't learn proper English as we know it. They learned broken English, but yet they brought with it whatever language they brought into this country. And some of them came from West Africa, some of them came from the West Indies. And the West Indians spoke English, some of them, some spoke French. But most of them spoke English, but it was a dialectal English. So when they tried to combine that with the English that they were hearing, a lot of words were just cut off. And so the language became different. We have talked with people in South Carolina around the Penn Center, which is in St. Helena. Mm-hmm. And they speak a Gullah, but it's a different Gullah.
So it's different everywhere.
It's different.
Okay. When you hear the word, or when someone says the word, the McIntosh County Shouters, you know, what are some of the major characteristics that, I mean, you just think of automatically, you know?
The first thing that most people associate with the Shouters is the overalls.
Okay. The major characteristics.
The overalls.
Worn by the men.
By the men. And the straw hats. The ladies normally have long dresses and they're flowing because when they shout, they swish their dress tails. They most times wear something similar to boots. Not boots like you think, but you know.
Mm-hmm.
They usually have some kind of head dressing. Oftentimes it's a scarf. It depends on the outfit or the costume, because some of them have bonnets, or, you know, but they have some kind of hairdressing.
Okay. All right. Has this style changed over time?
No, we try not to.
We try not to.
Okay. We have a lady who makes the. My attire is usually a little bit different because I basically do the narration. And so mine is a little bit more conventional. But see, I don't shout, so my dress doesn't have to swish. But theirs needs to be flowing. And so they make mine a little bit different, a little bit more.
Okay.
Same material, but mine is usually a little bit more conservative.
Okay. I've seen it. Are they pretty colorful?
Some of them.
Pretty colorful? Yeah.
Most times it's always made out of cotton or fabric that our grandparents used. It's not ever anything. But now we have, for instance, like when we have to do, they had a reception for us at Gettysburg, when we went to Gettysburg. And we have an African outfit that all of us have that we wear. The men have the dashikis that match, and we have like a black and gold outfit that we wear.
Okay, you said dashikis?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's like a shirt, but it has no collar. It's an African shirt made for men, basically. And I think they have a female version of it too, but it's an African shirt.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And these actually, the ones that we have actually came from Africa.
Okay. Do you just, the songs that are, you know, you sing, are they just the ones that have passed down, or does everyone like come up with new ones?
Oh, no. Nothing new.
Nothing new?
Mm-hmm. Nothing. We have so many that we have almost a repertoire. But there are some that people just expect us to do whenever we perform. And a performance usually lasts about 45 minutes. And that's with an intermission and an introduction of all of the people in the group. And normally we do and a 45-minute presentation about 6 to 7 songs. And normally what I do prior to an engagement is to sit down and get some background on the audience and design a performance specifically for that particular audience.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if, you know, depending on the audience, which songs, you know, you would sing.
We would do something different if we were performing in a church versus, in fact, when we were in Gettysburg, we did a performance in a church, but the community was the audience. And then that Sunday morning before we left, we did a performance in a Lutheran church as a part of the service. And so we did a totally different performance
there. I think my favorite would be, I can't remember the name of it,
Move Daniel.
Move Daniel. I like that one.
Uh-huh. Most people like the high-spirited ones, you know, but they all tell a story. They all have a story.
My professor had a tape, and I listened to it, and I noticed that every single one had a story.
Yeah, has a story.
Okay, is there any, you know, do you perform in other places, like, other than churches?
Oh, yeah. Basically, primarily we perform at festivals, which are usually, and these are the hardest performances, because nine times out of ten, they're out of doors. And, there are no acoustical restraints or anything like that. And so it's really hard, really, really hard. Probably the most profound performance we've done was in Nashville, where we performed at the can't remember. Well, we were invited to Showcase, and it was, it's an organization that pulls together different kinds of artists and allows people to come in and see them, and you have an opportunity to book, you know, Performing Arts Showcase.
Okay.
Where with that one, we had, and we had another one in Kentucky that was very much like this, where we performed in an auditorium, like a civic center kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to be there like 5 o'clock for sound check. And every person in the group had to do a sound check. And so, I mean, this was one of these high class, really classy deals. we've done a couple of those.
Can you describe the audiences for the music?
The audiences vary. We have performed before 100, and we've performed before thousands. We've done performances at the daycare center, and we've done performances at the Civic Auditorium in Louisville, Kentucky. So it just varies.
Okay. Well, I think that's all the questions I have.
Oh, fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Thank you so much.
You really need to try to get to Khalifa, but I think she's out of town.
Yeah.
Just saw last night, but she left. There is a tape. I don't know if you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a clip that was done by CNN, and it's just, it's really unique in that as it comes on, there's a shot of the shrimp boats in Darien, and then you hear the rapping of the stick, and it was done at Todd Grant. CNN came in and did it.
Do you remember what year that was done?
It's about 6 years ago.
6 years?
That was my first experience with the Shouters.
Okay.
think it's Hands Across America with Larry Woods.
Okay. Alright.
But it's an excellent piece. In fact, we use it as a promotional piece.
Okay. Alright. Do you think it would be in libraries or something like that?
Doubt it.
No?
I doubt it.
Okay.
I used to keep one, and I don't know how I don't have it anymore. But it's an excellent piece. I mean, it just gives you, in addition to hearing it, you have interviews by other people in the group. You really hear Gullah because you hear Miss Odessa talk, and you hear Miss Lawrence, you hear some of the music, as well as you see the dress, the tie.
Yes.
So it's a good piece for you to have.
All right. And you can buy this?
No. What we do is we send it out for promotion.
Okay.
So if you can get in touch with Khalifa, and I don't know if she'll be back before you get back.
Okay.
I mean, before you leave.
But I can get one after.
Oh, yeah.
Sometime after
yeah.
the holidays. Okay. And that's her number that you gave me with
832-5826, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome.